Well, here we are again. This is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth, and I welcome you, my brothers and sisters, to this study, and everybody to this study. Thank you for joining in. Today we're going to go back into our study of the letter S, which is the third study in our alphabet of ABCs, and it's sin. We're studying the subject of sin, the topic of sin, and what the scriptures have to say about it. Last few studies that we went through on our recordings, I believe the last one, we went over two topics. One of them was man's state in relation to sin. You remember that? That he was created in the likeness of God and is no longer like God. We are like Adam. We have been born with a sin nature, and we have a fallen nature, an Adamic nature, and it's not what we do, it's what we are. It's what we are. And the heart of man, as sin has made him. The heart of man, as sin has made him. Well, sin has really messed man's heart up. Man's heart is evil continually. You remember that? Desperately wicked and deceitful. And I think we said that it was the seat and the source of sin, the scripture says. And it's hard and impenitent. It won't repent. It's stubborn. It's blind and stony and rebellious and covetous, wants what somebody else has got. That heart just lusts and lusts and lusts. It's foolish and darkened. We have double hearts sometimes and idolatrous hearts, we have proud hearts and froward hearts, and mischief is in our heart, full of mischief. And faint hearts. Our hearts fail us. So, if you still think there's something good to say about our hearts, let's hear it. You see, the Bible tells us the truth, brothers and sisters, and the only thing, we're going to get into some good stuff. Now, what we're talking about is sin. Remember that. We're not talking about after Jesus's, we're talking about sin corporately, okay? And bringing up topics about this matter of sin and what the Bible says about sin. And we're looking at all avenues of it, and we're going to bring it to a corporate truth. What does the Bible think of sin, and what is sin? That's what we began talking about, remember? Today, we're going to go over some more concerning man's condition, not only his heart, but is his heart the only thing, part of man that is wicked or that's been affected by sin? Well, let's look and see. Today we're going to talk about man's parts and sin. Does the Bible talk about any other part of man being sinful other than his heart? We went over that in the last study about man's heart in relation to sin. And man's heart's in pretty rough shape, pretty bad shape. And if we told the truth, brothers and sisters, we can't get through a day without our heart, without recognizing and realizing that there's something wrong with us. There's something wrong with us. And we know what it is if we trust God's Word and we believe God's Word and we line up with what His Word says and not making any excuses for it or not trying to cool it off or shut it down or make it not seem as bad as it is. Just believe what God said. Now, God has made a remedy for all these things, and we're going to get into all that. But let's find out what it is and what kind of condition we really are in. If you're born again, you're no longer in that condition. You're in a different state, and we're going to get into that. But you was, and you still are partially, and sin does still affect you. And you are in, your part of you is still in a fallen state. And we're going to get into that. But let's look at these parts that the Bible's talking about. Does the Bible talk about any other part of man concerning sin, man's parts and sin? Well, why, it sure does. The Bible says that man's head is sinful. Man's parts and sin. Man's head is sinful. Yeah, that's what it says in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 5. Listen to this. Why should you be stricken anymore? You will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick, and the whole heart faint. The head has to do with sinful, being sinful. What else? Man's eyes. Now, you think you might have been thinking after our last studies or our several studies that we've been through that there might be part of you that's not as bad as Brother TV and our studies have been talking about, but man's eyes are sinful. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 14 says, having eyes full of adultery, and that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls, and heart they have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children. So there go the eyes. What else? Well, man's mouth, having to do with sin. What's the scriptures tell us about that? Romans chapter 3 and verse 14, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Is cursing sinful? Sure it is. Is bitterness sinful? Sure it is. In certain times, I mean, wicked bitterness, you know what I mean. But the mouth, not only man's head, not only man's eyes, not only man's mouth. Now, notice that the scriptures are individualizing these things. It says head. It says eyes. It says mouth. Not just his body. It's individualizing these things. Picking you out piece by piece. Okay, well, what about man's lips and tongue and his throat? Is there any good in it? Well, Romans chapter 3, let's look at that and see what it has to say. Romans 3:13 says, their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips. Wow. You know what a sepulcher is, don't you? It's a grave, an open sepulcher. The Bible says that their throat is an open sepulcher. Nothing but filth coming up out of that thing. And their tongues have they used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips. Is that true? The scripture says it's true. We know it is, don't we? So that's the mouth, the lips, the tongue, the throat, the eyes, the head. What else? Man's neck. You say the neck? Deuteronomy chapter 31 and verse 27, listen to this. For I know thy rebellion. Remember what the Lord said rebellion was like? It was like the sin of witchcraft. For I know thy rebellion and thy stiff neck. Behold, while I am yet alive with you this day, ye have been rebellious against the Lord. And how much more after my death? Of course, we know that was one of the prophets talking, but it's true. For I know thy rebellion and thy stiff-necked. Thy stiff neck. Behold, while I am yet alive with you this day, ye have been rebellious against the Lord. And how much more after my death? The neck. Man's neck is sinful. What else? Man's ears. You say, oh, come on, Brother TV. Yeah, man's ears. How could they be sinful? Matthew chapter 13 and verse 15. The scripture says, for this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing. and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. Them ears are sinful. You stop listening to what God says and turn your ears away from Him, that's sin. Dull of hearing. Man's hands are sinful. Boy, we're getting all these parts, aren't we? Psalm chapter 26, listen to it. Psalm chapter 26 and verse 10 says, "In whose hands is mischief, and their right hand is full of bribes." Ooh-wee. The hands are sinful. And not only the hands, but the feet. The feet are sinful. Proverbs chapter 1, 16. Chapter 1 and verse 16 says, "For their feet run to evil and make haste to shed blood." Wow. Man's feet. The Bible knows us, doesn't it? Well, what else? Well, man's bones. His bones. Well, Job said something about that. Remember Job chapter 20 and verse 11? It says, "His bones are full of the sin of his youth, which shall lie down with him in the dust." Your bones had to do with sin. I'm not feeling very, very good with my parts. Are you? Man's inward parts. His inward parts. Psalm chapter 5 and verse 9, the Bible says, "For there is no faithfulness in their mouth. Their inward part is very wickedness. Their throat is an open sepulcher. They flatter with their tongue." Too many people can get away from this, is there? How you batting? I'm not batting very good. There's something wrong with us, folks. And the Scripture's already told us what it is. All we have to do is agree with the Scriptures and then understand with our hearts and hear with our ears and learn this thing. What else? Man's mind. Man's mind. Romans chapter 1 and verse 28, the Bible says, "And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient." God says, "All right, you don't want to think of me? Then think of what you want to think of," and man destroys himself. It's only because of God the Holy Ghost that helps us to think the right thoughts and helps us, gives us strength to think and use our minds the way that we're supposed to use them and the way that they were meant to be used. And whenever the Lord takes His hand and His power and His Spirit off of our minds, they naturally go to this state. Man's mind. What else? Man's thoughts. Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5 says, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." Man's thoughts. Man's understanding has to do with a sin. That's one of his parts that has to do with sin. Not only is the entire vessel, our entire makeup in a fallen state until we meet the Lord Jesus Christ and receive Him as our Savior, every single part individually is mentioned. Man's understanding. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 18 says, "Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. That's a voluntary state, by the way. Man's understanding. What else? Well, man's conscience. Man's conscience. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. It can't feel anymore. It has no sensitivity anymore. It's like taking an iron and when it's super hot and put it on your forearm and just let it sit there a minute and burn and then take it off. And when that heat gets over with and it heals over, you have an imprint of an iron on your forearm that's a scar that no longer has any feeling. It can't feel. It can't give you any senses of anything. It's seared with a hot iron. And the Lord's talking about your mind, talking about your conscience, that you can't feel anymore, you can't recognize anymore with your senses that you either done right or wrong or whatever. It doesn't work anymore. I heard an old thing that a man said one time. He's drawing it on a chalkboard, and he said the conscience is kind of like the Indians used to describe it. And there was a circle. He drew a circle, and he put a triangle inside that circle. And he said that the points on that triangle were very, very sharp, and they represented man's conscience. And he said whenever man done something wrong, he said that triangle inside that circle, which represented the heart, would spin, and those real sharp points would scratch at the heart. And the heart would know that there was something wrong. And the conscience would work. But he said after a while of not being in God's Word and all the things that the Bible tells us that keep those points sharp, he said that, and not listening to the Lord, not making any effort to follow the Lord and to honor the Lord in our lives, as a matter of fact, trying to get away from Him, he said those points will eventually spin and they'll dull out. They'll dull over. And then pretty soon, the points are no longer even touching the circle. You see that? And the heart doesn't even feel the conscience anymore. You see that thing? Man's conscience. What else? Well, man's feeling. Man's feeling. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 19, the Bible says, who being past feeling, have given themselves, did you get that? Have given themselves over to lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. They give themselves over to lasciviousness. That's not only sexual misconduct, it's nastiness in a sexual way. A lot of that going on in society today. But it says that this sort of thing that happens is in man's feelings, and who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness. So anybody that works this kind of stuff and this kind of sin has no feeling. They're past feeling. What else? Well, man's way. You say, are we ever going to run out of parts? Not till we get to the end. Man's way has to do with sin. Romans chapter 3 and verse 16, the Bible says, destruction and misery are in their ways. And they are, aren't they? That's not all. Man's nature, the old man, the flesh, the Adamic nature. That's what we've been talking about on the last several topics. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 22, listen to this. That you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. Remember we talked about that Paul said that I know that in me, that is in my flesh, the old man, the old nature, man's nature, dwelleth no good thing. He said no good thing. You say, Brother TV, nothing? No good thing. You can't trust that flesh to want anything, to be anything like God. Until, of course, you get born again and you walk in the Spirit and you stop that flesh from fulfilling those lusts. And you step on that flesh's neck and you say, you don't get to talk today. Man's nature. What else? Well, we've been over the head. We've been from the head all the way down to the guts, his nature, his feelings, his ways. Well, let's move on down. How about man's foot to his head? Yeah. Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 6 says, from the sole of the foot, even unto the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. That's Isaiah referring to the people and their sins. From the sole of their foot, even unto the head, man's parts. And then one more. It's pretty well covered enough. I don't know if you could pull anything out of this. Maybe a toenail. I don't know. It's looking like we're pretty well taken over, isn't it? Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9, the Bible says, do they provoke me to anger, saith the Lord? Do they not provoke themselves to the confusion of their own faces? Man's heart. Man's heart. Do they provoke me to anger, saith the Lord? Do they not provoke themselves with the confusion of their own faces? And then in Jeremiah 17:9 he says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Who can know it? So, brothers and sisters, I don't think we've done very well on that. And what the Scripture says, there's some people that will deny these things and they'll say, my head's not sinful. My eyes aren't sinful. My mouth is not sinful. Man's lips, his tongue, his throat, his neck, his ears, his hands, his feet, his bones, his inward parts, his mind, his thoughts, his understanding, his conscience, his feeling, his ways, his nature, his foot to his head and his heart. That's pretty bad shape right there. And it has to do with sin, you see. So if we were going to try to, from the prior thing, talking about man's heart is proud and man's relation when it had to do with sin, talking about the heart of man and sin as it has made him when we went over that, then if we're going to try to pull any or salvage anything, man's parts and sin just pretty well took care of the rest of it, didn't it? Listen, brothers and sisters, if you're born of a woman, there's something wrong with you. You have an Adamic nature that does not like God and does not want anything to do with God. And the Bible says the only way that can be solved is through what Jesus has done, that we can be born again, and part of us can be quickened again, our spirit can be quickened again by God the Holy Ghost, and we can have fellowship with the Lord again. But other than that, the Adamic nature has taken over. So let's move on. What's our next topic having to do with sin and our study of sin? Well, we're going to get to individualize these things. We're going to break down this sin and find out exactly what the Lord means. Remember when we were listing them, it wasn't just talking about sin corporately, just sin. It started breaking them down and talking about them. And we're going, in this part of the study, we're going to start moving into some of that. And you're probably going to get tired of hearing the same sins. I do. Hearing the same sins over and over and over. But we need to know what and how many times and how the scriptures describe these sins and how important they are. Let's talk about sins which proceed out of the heart of man and defile him. The Bible says that these sins that we're going to go over proceed out of the heart of man and defile him. Now in Mark chapter 7 and verse 18 through 23, the Lord lists these sins that come out of the heart of man and defile him. Now this conversation was brought up in front of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Lord Jesus Christ was the one that was saying these things. They was telling him about washing his hands, remember? And talking about being defiled. And the Lord was reprimanding them and talking to them about outside dirt being on your hands versus the heart and the spiritual part of man. Mark chapter 7, verse 18 through 23, and he said unto them, are ye so without understanding also? Do you not perceive that whatsoever thing from without entereth into the man, it cannot defile him? Now see, the Jews used to not eat certain kinds of foods and this, that, and the other because of the law. And certain things that they did, if they ate something that was unclean under the law, then it defiled them. But the Lord's changing all that and leaving the law. The law is good. We're not saying the law is bad, but the Lord's changing this thing at this time. And he's trying to explain to them that it's spiritual now. And he said unto them, are ye so without understanding? This is when his apostles came to him, and he had spoken this to the hot shots around there, the religious folks. And they heard it, and the apostles asked him off to the side to explain it. And the Lord's answering them. And he said unto them, are ye so without understanding? Do you not perceive that whatsoever thing entereth into the man, it cannot defile him? Because it entereth not into his heart, but into his belly, and goeth out into the draw, purging all meats. And he said, that which cometh out of the man, that which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these things come from within and defile the man. You see, nothing you can eat defiles you because it processes through your physical body and then it goes out into the draw, the Lord said. Has nothing to do with your heart and spiritual things. He said, but from the heart come these things that defile a man. And he went over them. Now, either the Lord and his word are right or he's lying. And we both know that the Lord does not lie. He says that the things above that we just went over come out of the man. Does it make sense that if something comes out of a man, that it first has to be in the man? Of course it does. Now, this is hard for some people to swallow and admit to be true. But nevertheless, it's true. Some even go through their entire life and die and go to hell because they do not want to admit the terrible truth that there is something wrong with them, even though they know it. Well, according to God's word, there is. What we said before, man is sinful. It is part of your being. It is in you. Because it is in you, the Lord in the verses above says that the awful things mentioned, and that's only part of them, by the way, come out of you. And they do. If you're still trying to kid yourself about the matter, turn on the news and see how many true, honest, just, pure, lovely, good report, virtuous, praiseworthy things you can find. Go ahead. Turn it on. Get your pencil out and write them down when you hear them. 99% of the news media talks come about what comes out of a man. It just so happens they match all the above that the Lord listed, don't they? And then in this section that we're talking about right now, in our topic that we're talking about under this study of sin, and there are more. Let's define the ones only that we talked about right now that the Lord brought up. Now, remember what the topic was? Sins which proceed out of the heart of man and defile him. Well, the first one the Lord mentioned was evil. Now, what is evil? Well, I got the definitions of these things, and they're pretty... I got them from the old dictionaries and what they used to think back in the 1800s and stuff like that, whenever the Philadelphia era was around and they loved God's word and protected it and loved it. But evil, it means to be unjust or injurious, to defraud, having bad qualities of a natural and moral kind, mischievous, tend to injury or produce mischief. Wicked, corrupt, perverse, wrong. That's evil. I'd have to agree with that, don't you? What else? Well, he said thoughts. He said thoughts. What is thoughts? Well, it's pronounced thoughts. Properly, that which the mind thinks, either the act or operation of the mind when attending to a particular subject or thing, or it is the idea consequent on that operation. Talking about subjects and your thoughts and the things in your mind and the operation of your mind and the subjects that you talk about and the objects that you talk about, to set upon such an object it holds in view or contemplation, or it extends to, or it stretches to. Your thoughts. Your thoughts. That which the mind thinks. What are your thoughts like? What have you been thinking about today? The Bible says the thought of foolishness is sin. And by the way, foolishness is the last one that the Lord mentioned. He got us all on that one, didn't he? You know, the Lord's not mentioning these things to condemn us. We're already condemned. He's mentioning these things to tell the truth. and to get us to recognize that we're sinners and there's something wrong with us. What else did he say? Adulteries? What's adultery? Well, you know, that's interesting, too. Why are men and women, when they get to a certain age, and even the government and everybody else has a classification of that, that you are a baby, you're an infant, you go to youth, a child, a youngin' or whatever, and then you go to a teenager, and then you become legally responsible for yourself when you become an adult? You know, the Bible doesn't use the word adult addressing a man or a woman. It uses man or woman. Only man come up with that, adult. Adultery, maybe? Adultery, violation of the marriage bed. All manner of lewdness or unchastity. Idolatry or apostasy from the true God. You can adulterate against God, being considered as an unnatural union. Violation of the marriage bed. The Bible says the marriage bed is undefiled, and that's what he said about that. A man and a woman are married in the eyes of the Lord. Their bed is clean and undefiled. What else? Fornications. The incontinence or lewdness of unmarried persons, male or female. Also, the criminal conversation of a married man with an unmarried woman. Adultery or incest or idolatry. Now, adulteries mostly have to do with married people violating the marriage bed by sleeping with somebody else that doesn't belong to them or is not part of the marriage bed. Fornications kind of composes all of that in sexual misconduct and filthiness. Fornication can be many other things also, rather than adultery, lewdness of unmarried persons. It speaks mostly of unmarried persons. But nowadays, you couldn't tell the difference because everybody's adulterizing. Everybody's sleeping with everybody's wife and laughing about it. Murders, the Lord said. Now, I remind you that it's the Lord Jesus Christ that's saying these things that proceed out of the heart of man. Murders. What is murder? Is murder different than killing in the Scriptures? Yes, it is. And when you get time, you can go in the ABCs of Christian Growth and go to the letter K and look at the study of killing, and you'll see what the Scriptures say about that. Murders. The act of unlawfully killing a human being with premeditated malice by a person of sound mind or in possession of his reason with pretense, aforethought, or premeditation. Now, that's the explanation of what the court supposedly seeks after when they're going after a murder charge on somebody. Is finding out whether, I mean, he definitely killed somebody because they're dead, but did he premeditate it with malice, and did he have a sound mind, and was he in possession of his reason with pretense, aforethought, and premeditation when he went to kill that person? That's exactly what the court goes after, the prosecution goes after, trying to find out, prove that this man done that thing. Like that. And if he did, then he's guilty of murder. What else did the Lord say? Thefts. Stealing. Thefts. The act of stealing. The private, unlawful, felonious taking of another person's goods or movables with an intent to steal them, to constitute theft. The taking must be in private or without the owner's knowledge, and it must be unlawful or felonious. That is, it must be a design or deprive the owner of his property privately and against his will. Isn't it something how that is such a good description of stealing, thefts? The Lord said that comes out of a man's heart and defiles him. Thefts. Stealing something, somebody's private stuff, another person's goods or movables, with the intent to take them. And it says the way that it constitutes it being a theft is that you do it in private and without the person knowing about it. That's stealing, all right. That's thefts. And the Lord said that proceeds out of man's heart. And that defiles him. What else? Covetousness. A strong or inordinate desire of obtaining and possessing some supposed good, usually in a bad sense, and applied to an inordinate desire for wealth, strong desire, eagerness. I want that. Mark chapter 7, verse 22 says, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, and foolishness. Wow. Mentions covetousness again. Colossians chapter 3, 5 mentions it again. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Covetousness. Looking at somebody else's stuff and wanting it. The Lord said, be content with such things as ye have. And it says, godliness with contentment. Godliness, listen to this. Godliness with contentment, being happy with what you got and thankful for what you got. And not covetous, not looking at somebody else's stuff and being mad at them and wanting that stuff. But godliness with contentment, listen to this, is great gain. Man doesn't think like that, does he? He thinks great gain is having what everybody else has. The Lord said godliness and being content with what you got is great gain. Covetousness. These are the things that the Lord Jesus Christ mentioned with his own mouth when he was explaining this matter to the apostles there. Another one was wickedness. Wickedness is departure from the rules of the divine law. Evil disposition or practices. Immorality. Crime. Sin, sinfulness, corrupt manners. Wickedness generally signifies evil practices, but wickedness also expresses the corrupt dispositions of the heart. Wickedness. Another one is deceit. Deceit comes out of the heart of man and defiles him. What is deceit? Well, it's fraudulence. A misleading falsehood. Misrepresents something. A dissimulation. Premeditated lying. Deviating from or perverting the truth. Lasciviousness. What's lasciviousness? Looseness. Irregular indulgence of animal desires, wantonness, lustfulness, tendency to excite lust and promote irregular indulgences. The Lord said also an evil eye. What's that? That's ill intent. Insincere. Setting a snare. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 6 and 7 says, "Eat thou not the bread of him that have an evil eye, neither desire thou his dainty meats, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee." An evil eye. A look that is believed to have the power of inflicting harm, or has the look of the intent of inflicting harm. You ever had anybody look at you, or you look at somebody else with the intent of letting them know that you mean them some harm, or they mean you some harm? You ever seen an evil eye? The Lord said that defiles a man, and it comes out of his heart. What else? Well, blasphemy. Blasphemy. What's blasphemy? An indignity offered to God by words or writing. You insult the Lord. You take away his dignity with your mouth, or your words, or your writing. Reproachful, contemptuous, or irreverent words uttered impiously against Jehovah, against the Lord. Blasphemy is an injury offered to God by denying that which is due and belonging to him, and attributing to him that which is not agreeable to his nature. Calling God something that he's not. Blasphemy. The Lord said that comes out of a man's heart, and it defiles him. What else? He said pride. Pride. Inordinate self-esteem. An unreasonable conceit of one's own superiority. I'm somebody. Lofty airs, distant reserve, and often in contempt of others. Insolence, rude, undeserved treatment of others. Insolent exultation. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 18 and 19 says, "Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Better is it to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud." Pride. The Lord said, that's a sin that comes out of a man and defiles him, comes out of his heart. Now, what are we talking about? We're talking about sins which proceed out of the heart of man and defile him. There's one more the Lord mentioned. We talked about that a while ago. Foolishness. If none of the others got you and got me, that one did, didn't it? We are foolish. And foolishness does proceed out of our hearts. If not daily, hourly. What is foolishness? Well, it's folly. It's a want of understanding. Foolish practice. Want of wisdom or good judgment. Absurdity. Ridiculousness. Silliness. That's what the world thrives on now, just being as foolish as they can, and they compliment one another in it. And so did we And the Bible says it comes out of our heart and it defiles us. But the world seems to think that it's something to stand up and laugh about, and that, oh well. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18 says, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness." In other words, when you're telling somebody about the death, burial, and resurrection, a way you can tell that they're on their way to hell is because they'll think that what you're talking about is foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. The Bible says in Psalm chapter 10 and verse 6, "He has said in his heart, I shall not be moved, for I shall never be in adversity. He has said in his heart, God hath forgotten. He hideth his face. He will never see it. Wherefore doth the wicked contemn God? He hath said in his heart, Thou wilt not require it. The fool has said in his heart, There is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. The fool has said in his heart, There is no God. Corrupt are they, and have done abominable iniquity. There is none that doeth good." Listen to these words that this book says. This is not something that a man would write. This is from somebody else. And we know, don't we? God the Holy Ghost wrote these words. "Sins of those who will not retain God in their knowledge and are turned over to a reprobate mind." That's the next thing we're going to talk about. Today, we've discussed several things, and we've learned some stuff. We learned about our body parts, didn't we? And what the Bible says, what parts of a man are affected by sin, man's parts and sin. Then we also talked about sins which proceed out of the heart of man and defile him. The Lord Jesus Christ speaking it himself. And he's right, isn't he? Yes, he is. I mean, come on, why are we studying this? Let's call truth, truth. And then get on through it and see what the end of it is. See what the Lord says. The Lord's not going to tell us, he's not going to make a remedy for something that doesn't exist. He came and died. God came in the flesh and grew up and went, and they murdered him, but they didn't know they was doing it. But Jesus knew they was doing it, and Jesus knew why they was doing it. They couldn't have killed him if he wouldn't have let them. He done that on purpose. God did that. Why? I think we're going through part of it, don't you? Sins which proceed out of the heart of man and defile him. Well, there we go. We're off. We're talking about individual sins now. Evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, and murders, and thefts, and covetousness, and wickedness, and deceit, and lasciviousness, and an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, and foolishness. If you went out on a sidewalk, in a busy sidewalk, or a Broadway, and you was sitting there, and you was reading this stuff, and these words, and talking about covetousness, wickedness, deceitful, lasciviousness, what do you suppose the people would be like? They would laugh at you. They would laugh at you, and some of them would be angry. But a lot of them would laugh at this thing and mock it, even knowing that it's true. The Lord says they deny it. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Corrupt are they and have done abominable iniquity. There is none that doeth good. And they know this thing. And if you said this thing and brought these sins out and set them before fools and foolish people, they'll laugh at you. And they laugh at God. Right now. All right. We're going to stop right there. Take a breath. We're going to stop right there. Let me give you these scriptures for today, okay? Let you get your pencils out there. All right. Here we go. These ones that I'm going to mention right now, the ones I'm going to give you right now, are from the topic of man's parts and sin. And you can look at that when you get ready. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 5. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 14. Romans chapter 3, verse 14. Romans chapter 3, verse 13. Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 27. Matthew chapter 13, verse 15. Psalm chapter 26, verse 10. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 16. Job chapter 20, verse 11. Psalms chapter 5, verse 9. Romans chapter 1, verse 28. Genesis chapter 6, verse 5. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 18. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 19. Romans chapter 3, verse 16. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22. Romans chapter 7, verse 18. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 6. And Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9. That was for that portion of our study today. Now, the last portion, sins which proceed out of the heart of man and defile him. Here are the scriptures for them. Mark chapter 7, verse 18 through 23, we read. And then the chapter of Exodus 22. I didn't mention that, but it was a chapter. And Exodus chapter 22 have to do with these sins and what the Lord says about them, defiling a man. Mark chapter 7, verse 22. Colossians chapter 3, verse 5. Judges chapter 20, verse 12. Psalm chapter 5, verse 9. Psalm chapter 58, verse 2. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17 through 19. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 6 and 7. Mark chapter 3, verse 28 through 30. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 18 and 19. Daniel chapter 4, verse 37. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. And then we have Psalm chapter 10, verses 6, 11 and 13, and then Psalm chapter 1, or chapter 14, excuse me, chapter 14, verse 1, and then Psalm chapter 53, verse 1. And those are scriptures for today. Good study, huh? You know, admitting the truth about things and understanding and willing to learn, we should tell the Lord, I want to learn what you're teaching me and mean it. And we do. Otherwise, you wouldn't be here and you wouldn't be listening to this. We should want to learn, even the good along with the bad, And these things aren't, as a matter of fact, they're bad. I don't like this part of the study. I don't like knowing that part of me is like this. But there has to be something wrong with us if the Lord thought there needed to be a remedy for it. You see? And we need to understand this part of it also. So that's why we're studying it. But we know that Jesus has overcome all these things and we have the victory. But let's study them anyway because the Lord put them in there. And He wants us to know them, okay? All right. Well, the Lord bless you. And I thank you so much for studying God's Word and honoring our Lord and honoring His Word. He'll honor you in return for that. Don't quit. Don't ever, ever quit. All the way to the end. The Lord bless you. This is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth. Talk to you on the next one, okay? Bye-bye.